The Deputy Minister, a very good morning if we do have guests from our society. Let me take this opportunity and briefly welcome all of us in this very important platform. And thank you for paying attention to be present today. The attendance register is being circulated. Our agenda is in front of us, all of us. We will do the routine house rules. That is assuring us that this is the people that are here, those who have apologized, accept apologies, and then we go straight to the agenda. Can I give this moment to you, Secretary, to take us through on that arrangement?
Good morning, honorable members and Deputy Minister and departmental officials and presents. I have two apologies from the members of the committee. One is from Honorable Dudley, who indicated that she won't be able to attend today's meeting. Another one is from Honorable Van der Merwe. She's out of country in Germany to a study tour. And one is from the Minister, Honorable Batabile Dlamini, who attended the joint cabinet meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Secretary. Mama Wilson?
Thank you, Chair. She was unable to do it in writing, but I did bump into the Honorable Sonti at the airport. She has been urgently sent to Durban by her party to attend a pressing matter there. She asked that I forward her apologies. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any issue on apologies? Can members approve those apologies? I'm calling for hands. Honorable Wilson, Honorable.
Yeah? Good morning, Chair. Yes. Thank you. Yes, maybe just the apology from Honorable Sonti that she later communicate via a written apology. Thank you.
The committee accepts and says it must be written. So wherever she is, she will have the technology to do us so that we can keep it in our records. So we can go ahead. The agenda is in front of us. But members of this portfolio committee will remember that we had agreed that this national issue on SASSA is to be a standing item on our agenda. The minister understands that while she is still in the joint sitting of the cabinet, she has made arrangements that we will be able to proceed with this important item. And thereafter, we will deal with our routine work because of this demand that we deal with many of issues relating to this matter. Some programs are really a little bit very behind. And honorable members will be able to be sympathetic enough to themselves by ensuring that immediately after these days, Secretary, we'll deal with the program that we're supposed to be in. So we will be cooperative to your leadership in this one. Can we therefore request that, yes, we are still continuing with the program report. Tabane will remember. then we are saying we deal it with this today, and then next week you will be finishing, bringing the ones that we're supposed to be doing. I hope you find comfort in that. Okay. Can we request the person who is going to take us through the brief on progress? I think members are comfortable with how we are moving forward. Okay, can Honorable come closer to us? Okay, come next to me. Yes, after that. No, let's wait. That's our program. Okay, yes, it's our program. Yes, yes, it's present. Okay. 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 Hayi inzulu yeya ukuthiwa njona ukuthi nje sisitik ati andeleke okay sure. It is allowed this 2 minutes. People are actually discussing how they are going to approach. You are free to do so. Honorable Minister, Honorable Minister, can you allow this process to go on? Yeah, I mean, allow them to go back. What is your problem?
Switch off the mic so I can talk to
Chair, if you will allow me, I'll give the very brief update on the progress with SASSA as you've requested. I'm Diane Dankele, and I'm the Executive Manager responsible for grants at SASSA.
Can the department allow the presenter to be closer to us?
Thank you, Chair. After our engagement with the committee last week, this is just an update in terms of commitments that we had made at the last week's meeting. The first one was that we had committed to engage with CPS, firstly around their willingness to negotiate and then to actually do the negotiation. I can report that the negotiation took place from the 1st to the 3rd of March. An in-principle agreement has been reached, and we are now just busy finalizing the procurement process for that. And as soon as that process has been finalized, then the actual conditions of the agreement will be made public. They can't be made public at this stage because there is still a procurement process that needs to be followed. The part of that process is to engage National Treasury with a request for a deviation for procurement processes for this to be done on an emergency basis. We did send that letter to National Treasury yesterday on the 7th of February, and our team yesterday afternoon also met with staff from the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer. The indication we've received from National Treasury is that they will consider our request favorably, but only if the Constitutional Court exceeds and supports the request. So we are now busy implementing internal processes to be able to follow that route. In terms of the Constitutional Court, we had committed to approach the Constitutional Court, and we had been working last week with our lawyers on exactly what would be in that court report. I can report that we have submitted a supplementary progress report that was tabled with the Constitutional Court on Friday. And then the issue around communication, which is absolutely critical to make sure that there is communication to beneficiaries and to the general public. We have started with that. There was a media briefing on Sunday. There is also a stakeholder engagement that took place on Monday. And there we have strengthened our communication using all forms of media to make sure that we get the message across to beneficiaries that their payments will happen on the 1st of April and that the SASSA card that they have will in fact work, so there is no need for them to be concerned. The other issues we will deal with. And then just to mention around the litigation, which is currently going and is also being reported in the media, there has been an urgent application lodged at the Constitutional Court by Black Sash. They've been joined, we understand, by the Democratic Alliance, Freedom Under Law, and we hear there is another body that is also, the Right to Know, which has joined them as well. All the organizations have filed their papers, and answering affidavits are awaited, and the date for the hearing on an urgent basis is the 15th of March, next week, Wednesday. Thank you, Chair.
The report is in front of us, but I also want to make the notion that this is no longer a matter for social development and their entity SASSA, because it's a national matter. And that's why the SCOPA is also playing its role, which this committee appreciates, as well as other stakeholders that continuously get briefed. So this brief now, we don't want a situation where at some stage there is no information that is coming forward, because at some stage we were informed that it's us who stifled the presentations. So the presentation is here, but the minister is currently engaged in other stakeholder meetings, in which case we will await the progress from that side. So this one is keep us informed on a daily basis as long as we can meet. So it is for briefing, not for interrogation, because the minister may come with another information, because currently she is seated in the meeting with the cabinet, all clusters of the cabinet. So this information, if we read it, it relates to what has been going on, including the yesterday's meeting. But we don't want a gap where there is no information, because all of us who were in the SCOPA yesterday. So what is being reported here are the past activities before today. So we are not going to open it for any discussion or engagement. But we also, honorable members, didn't know very well that we also are being challenged at the court. But we welcome this information. That's why information is important, because we are told that there are court challenges that relates to Black Sash, as well as DA joining there, and there are other parties joining there. We also appreciate to understand that we have read in the news, particularly over the weekend, that there is a potential of a big march, national march, organized by our honorable member of the DA in Pretoria. Many papers reported that. So that information relates indeed to the committee to know that we are confidentially, and we are in terms of confidence to our members who are working here, but it seems there are a number of strategies that they are involving in driving this process forward. I must be honest, honorable members, and I must state that it's really, really affecting the program of the department in terms of us and the oversight. Because now we've got to be elsewhere and to be elsewhere. Remember, we are now supposed to be dealing with after the NEDLAC and after the minimum wage agreement, which delayed our program on universalization. We are now stuck. We are not able to move because it seems all our energies are directed here. And I still repeat in this meeting that we know as ANC, people will be paid. And our concern as a mandate is that we did vote for a budget for 17 million people. We have not been told that that budget is no longer there. The issue that is holding us is the issue of tender processes. And I'll continue also repeating that when we see poverty, others see an opportunity for wealth. For example, if a hospital would actually have a best reservoir, instead of people being operated, if people are to be assisted with water, instead of saying, where do we immediately get water, is how do we go about with procurement. The people need water in operating theater. There are water tanks around. There is water available in the closest water tank, but you cannot go there. You must find a way of going around procurement in order to satisfy the area of business interest. And I do also want to say, honorable member, our poor people have contributed to the wealth of others because we have now engaged in a debate, honorable members, of BEE insofar as grants. And once you engage in material issues, I think your morals and your feeling, your passion for the poor might be diluted to a certain extent. Because now we are engaged as to whether these companies will be BEE compliant in order for them. It applies, honorable members, to school nutrition. Because those who own the database of schools that are being fed a number of children is also the same. Court interdict so that our children go hungry because a particular process of procurement was not followed. It's affecting the poor because the poor are contributing to the rich. The other one is the school transport. Children don't go to school because there's a court interdict that they will not be picked by bus A because bus A might have been favored and then the court goes. So people can't put water, schemes of water dams, because someone can lock that tender in court for over 2 years when the budget for a scheme was available. It calls for interrogation of our own consciences as leaders in government. Are we there to use the poor for others to get rich, or are we there for them to be assisted? How I wish there was equality so that no one is getting a grant. But at this time, as I say this is painful. We are really, really suffering because these matters must be dealt with, I agree, but not to the detriment that people must not get food. Food on the table. I'm saying this honestly because if the minister is corrupt, there's nowhere she's going. She's a South African. She's not going to go out. Continue that investigation thoroughly and fairly, but allow us a breathing space for the poor to receive what is due to them. No one is defending the ANC and its shenanigans, if so. No one is defending the department. No one is defending the minister. But if only there's commitment that our people must get what they deserve and what was approved by this department, that will be a cage one day. Can we proceed, therefore, and leave the list? Can I finish before I acknowledge you? So that we can go to the next item. And I do know that if at any stage, we will need to meet again, we're still going to negotiate with the powers that be, so that if there is a briefing required, we may have to convene a session without necessarily on this particular day that is allocated to us. For the minister is busy there. There's information that is coming there. We rather be briefed by the minister other than the media. I have acknowledged Honorable Wilson and Honorable Toledi. Can I acknowledge another hand? Honorable Mabilo. Also include in your input whether we should go to the next item. I acknowledge you after the Honorable Mayor.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to Mrs. Dunkley for the report. Just one more point of clarity. Mrs. Dunkley has done the report and a great job this morning. Can we just inquire as to where the CEO is today, please?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is also very simple. I wanted to just really appreciate the report that has been presented to us, and perhaps maybe to further say at least SASSA has listened to us. Or should I wait for them to finish talking? Okay.
Go ahead, sorry. Please, Honorable, please do not...
I saw that you are listening. I couldn't speak.
Sorry about that. Okay. At the same time, they should have not done that. We apologize, Honorable Member.
Okay.
You will have the platform.
My point was I really wanted to appreciate and welcome the report, at least to congratulate them that they listened to us last week. Because I have both reports. I have the last week report and I have this report that has been presented today. And really, there is a huge improvement. It's very easy. It's simple. It's not like the one that we had last week. So I just wanted to really appreciate the presentation as presented to us and all the information. Although I know, Chairperson, it might not be the right time because we are still going to court on the they are going to court on the 15th. One is very interested on the application. How is the application? Look like the application that has been brought against the department from all those parties that are there. Why I'm saying I'm really interested in knowing of that, Chairperson, because if there is a litigation on the matter that we are discussing that is going on, we also need to be conscious of getting to the details because some parties might be advantage of the information that will be presented in the portfolio committee. At this stage. So I just wanted us to also be cautious of if there are those litigations, we need to really be seriously conscious that whatever that will be presenting or talking about, especially on the matter that is on the table, we need to be conscious of that. We didn't want SASSA to find itself in a position where they have presented this and other people have got an advantage when they get to the court. Thank you, Chair.
being the case, why I wanted this to be emphasized, that we've got litigation. I'm empowering the department to take a decision whether they want to respond to critical questions on that, because it has come to our attention that there is litigation. So it's upon them. They know that what's their role in that matter. Then can I move to Dada Mabilo? Okay. Mama Masango?
Thank you, Chair. I also just wanted to thank the department for the OSASA for the report, but also to say the Chair mentioned earlier on, and I know that you did say that you didn't expect any interrogation of the report, but to mention on what you on your remarks when you were talking about the fact that there are marches that have been planned and you appreciate the litigations and things like that, to say it is in the spirit, as the Chair said, that this matter has gone beyond the department, and even SASA, it's a national issue, and those things would have been brought about as the status of this issue has gone beyond the department. But also I wanted to mention the fact that the fact that we are the party has organized a march. I don't know that I didn't get the sense whether the Chair is saying that shouldn't have been done or something, which is why I'm just saying it is in the spirit of the fact that this issue has become a national issue and not just the Department of Social Development. Thank you, Chair.
Fact that you accept, because rumors have to be clarified with the people associated with that. I appreciate that honesty, because we were noting that there are also such activities, so that now we are no longer rumor mongering is quite good and accepted. Honorable Mabilo.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chair. There's not much to say, except as well to express my sincere appreciation and gratitude in terms of the progress that is being presented to us. It's work in progress, so I appreciate that and acknowledge the hard work that is in place in relation to resolving this matter. As to other details, obviously in terms of page 3 of 3, we are constrained. Thanks, but we appreciate the work that you are doing. I mean, as a portfolio committee, we are playing an oversight role. We are critical, but it is also important that we give credit where it is due, and that from my side, I will be able to say that. Thanks, we appreciate it. Yeah.
I will be giving to the department to respond to the comments and questions. But it's their right to do what they know, what they're supposed to be doing when they come here. Thank you very much. So it's with you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. The question around the CEO, is still off sick until the 14th. So that is the reason why the CEO is not here. He's still on sick leave. And we appreciate all the comments. I think that was the only question asked. Thank you very much.
Can they just correct one thing? On the report, there is the 3rd of February, 3rd of March, not February.
I think they'll do that justice. And then can that a recommendation be immediately implemented in our documents? Because these are documents are very important for us at this particular time. I think I'll move to the next item. Tate Thabane is not, you were ready many times when you were coming, and we want to apologize because you've often wanted to account on this matter, on this program, but you were delayed by time. And I want to say that because I don't want next time to say this report was delayed and it becomes a big issue. It was delayed because of not having space allocated to it. Can we then go ahead? The issue is the technology.
It was there earlier, Chairperson. I'm not sure if I should.
It was there.
It has since disappeared.
Okay, no. Can we give a 3 minutes break? Technology is doing. Let's give them an opportunity so that they don't panic. Today? Oh, okay. Okay, no, I can make this an announcement, and then you know, we can... As we are in the break, the break has been finished. It's no longer there. Okay, members, I believe in their document there is the program that we will also adopt. So as you sit there, you can put it aside. And if there's a member that doesn't have, then no, this is the one minister. No, this one is another little bit of a.
Who's that one?
Oh, I know. bayavimba apha.
Bavimba nyana.
Abana bubele. Oh, isiri. One can pick a cup of tea so that when we sit down, we continue. Uya graduate. Send it away, Nagalo. The feeling is that you. No, we will work around that program and see how we assist you. Let's talk about that.
And then you can just attach it. Go to
the program. And this is when we negotiate even earlier. Before we leave,
we can do that.
Well, we must not be like being tied. And also, can I have a cup of tea with milk and 3 sugars, please? Or 2? 1. Maybe no sugar at all.
No sugar at all is a
good thing. At least we are comfortable. Your technology is ready. We can now have the secretary coming back and then starting. We're giving you 3 minutes, secretary, to come. I learned a lot. A minister must be requested to say something because it's not clear whom are we oversighting. No. The cabinet is there for you. The cabinet is there. No. You are not implementers. You deal with the one who spends the money. There is them that must. It doesn't matter. I'll tolerate. But here, it's them. State accounts, governance, give instructions. When they say they were instructed by the minister,
then that we call the minister. Under normal circumstances, they are hands-on and must answer for their commissions and omissions, them, not the minister covering.
It doesn't matter. It helps you to have to have been able, yeah, that one. I would want all officials to know that you are the spenders, and you must account for every cent. It's only when you say the minister said that will go to the executive. Otherwise, we are on your throat. Can we go ahead and ask? We are going to ask questions from the presenter. And if he says it was done by Mr. Neshipale, we'll proceed to Neshipale. The minister will be the last one.
Good morning, and thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. And good morning to all the honorable members. We are here as a department to present, as per the invitation, our performance in terms of the attainment of the targets as they are reflected in our annual performance plan 2016-17. We are here to present the performance on how we have done as a department relating to the period July to September 2016, which is the second quarter of the previous financial, of the current financial year. As you know, the presentation has not changed in terms of the structure. We, in terms of the outline, we present the purpose, the priorities that you have set ourselves for the MTSF, and these are priorities that are just for the whole social development sector. The purposes of each program, the five programs that we have in the department, the analysis and the overall performance, but I'll move quickly and then just go to straight to the overall performance. As I've indicated that we're here to present the summary and analysis of our performance, as well as the expenditure in terms of implementation of the ministerial priorities, as well as of the department, as reflected in the DSD annual performance plan for 2016-17. As I said, you understand the priorities. These are the nine priorities we have set for ourselves. Five of these priorities are also reflected in the outcome dating chapter, as members will appreciate, and then there are four additional ones which then are reflected. We've got five programs, I understand, program one being administration, which is one of the largest programs, and I understand, Chairperson and other members, there was also a request that we come and present the organogram of the department with specific and particular reference to program one, and my colleague, after I've presented, Mr. Devin Chinapen, will then take us through the presentation on the organogram and the structure of the department. Program two is social assistance, three, social security policy, as well as administration, and program four is one of the largest programs, is welfare services, and finally, you've got social police as well as integrated service delivery, which is also referred to as community development. As I indicated, I'll move straight to slide number nine, and I've got my chief financial officer, but he will provide the details where there are questions, but we have combined the presentation so that we are able to reflect and juxtapose both the performance versus the expenditure per program as well. Overall, by the end of or during the period under review, the department has spent about 48% of its expenditure, and it means we were much more in line in terms of what was expected. As you'll see in terms of the expenditure per program, you can see that Program 1 administration is one that, as well as Program 5, social policy and aggressive service delivery, are the one that seem to have spent more as compared to other programs. That is Program 2, 3, and 4. We do provide the reasons in those particular areas. In terms of the key achievements, for the period under review, Chairperson and honorable members, I'm glad to share with you that the department had achieved 80% of its targets during the period under review, which is July to September 2016, and if 13% of the target have not been met, and with 7% that were in progress, though, or I would say that were partially met. The following slide, which is slide number 16, provides a much more detailed explanation of the previous slide in terms of the graph as it's been presented. As I did indicate, that the department had attained about 80% of its target. What we have done as well, Chairperson, one of the things that honorable members have been asking is to say it's fine that you present percentages, but it's always good for us to unpack exactly the targets in terms of per program. In terms of the annual performance plan, the department for the period under for the current financial year, which will be ending by end of March, the department is about 102. This is the total number of our targets. And during this period, we had achieved 81. We had met fully 81 of the 102 targets. With those that have been partially met is 9, and those that we have not achieved is 12. And we have broken this down. We have broken this down in terms of per program. You can see program 1 of the 102 has about 15. Program 2 has about 8. Program 3 has 8. And the larger proportion of our target are with program 4 as well as 5 respectively. And you can see how then each program contributes towards the total number of targets that you have in the department. Now I'll then move to looking at specific programs in terms of how they have performed and looking specifically as well as the finances. Program 1, as I did indicate at the beginning, is one that seems to have overspent in terms of its budget with 58.3% in terms of what was allocated for them. And we do provide the reasons where there are issues, as you'll note that it's the ministry as well as the goods and services where there are some of the areas. And the explanation is to say in terms of the high expenditure regarding the ministry, which is almost 86% spending, it's we've even as we have explained during the first quarter, it relates to the additional staff requirements in the ministry as well as the DM's offices. In terms of goods and services, it's 76% that has been spent, and it relates to a few issues. Number one is regarding the upgrading and maintaining of our DSD IT infrastructure, CETA services, as well as issues including licenses and IMCT services. Also, the departmental GG Fleet Services, in terms of its finances as well, contributed to the overspending, where we are saying we've got 76%. The AG fees as well as departmental audit services as well. This also includes cleaning and security services as well as the leasing agreement for office accommodation for public works, which is the office accommodation. So these are some of the reasons that have led to the overspending, especially on those particular two items, which is the ministry as well as the goods and services. Moving to the actual performance, in terms of the administration, we'll start with the executive support and the intergovernmental relations. This includes mainly the DG's office. In terms of their quarterly targets, they had committed to monitor and report on 95% of the social protection community human development class assessments, and this has been fully met as the unit was able to monitor and follow up on all the decisions that has been taken from that cluster, and the progress reports at the senior management structures have been tabled. There was also a commitment to facilitate and participate in two international events, and these have been fully met as during the second quarter. These are the list of some of the international engagements that the department undertook. This includes 73rd session of the Committee of the Rights of the Child, which has a presentation of South Africa's report. This took place between 20 and 21st September 2016. It was held in Geneva, Switzerland. There was a UNESCO Intergovernmental Council as well, Management of Social Transformation. This was held in Paris. There was an Indian Technical and Economic Cooperation training on managing development and social protection in globalized economy. This also took place during the month of September, and we also participated in some of the international engagement that took place between the 1st and 5th of August 2016. This was held in Cape Town. In terms of strategy, the commitment as well relates to the infrastructure. There was a commitment, a target to construct 3 community care centers, and this was done as the 3 community centers were during the period under review were constructed. There was one that was done in Klerksdorp, in Ventersdorp in Northwest, and 2 were done in KZN in the areas of Impande as well as Estumbin. Also, another target was to facilitate integration of gender into one policy, and the gender has been mainstreamed within the M&E policy for the social development sector. Moving forward in terms of the local services and the IT, we had a local service that a target to develop and vet contracts through its management system, and the local services had received 34 contracts, and all of them were vetted through the contract management system. There was also, for the IT had the target to develop a child protection register alternative care system, and this was fully developed during the period under review, and also they had developed the NISIS, the National Integrated Social Information System. Moving to program two, this is a program which also not only fully met its target, but it seems to have done well as well in terms of the expenditure. It's by end of the second quarter, it has spent 48.9%. The only areas where there seem to be only increase, which I'll give an explanation, is in regard to the two grants. One is the grant in aid as well as the war veterans grant. And the reason is that in both grants, where the high expenditure is related to an increased number of, for example, on war veterans that came to claim their benefit. And with regard to grant aid, it relates to the increased grant beneficiaries that applied for the grant in aid. And this was more than what had been anticipated at the beginning of the financial year when we were setting the targets. The targets were fully met, as I indicated, with an exception of we only saw the increases in these two grants, which is the War Veterans Grant as well as the granted aid. I'll move quickly to the Program 3, which is relates to social security policy as well as administration. There are no major issues except to say even in terms of the expenditure. The program or the branch had spent about 46.8% of its expenditure in terms of what is allocated. There are areas where there seem to be under expenditure, and with regards to the low expenditure mainly relates to the delay in terms of the two projects. One is the study to explore the use of tax system for financing and delivering of the child support grant, as well as the conducting the study for which we wanted to conduct a feasibility study in terms of linking the child support grant beneficiaries to child-related services. Also, there was low expenditure of about 28.8% with regard to appeals to education, and this relates to the invoices from the state attorneys which were still awaiting on the litigation cases that were recorded in terms of the social assistance grants. In terms of the actual performance, I did indicate that the some of the targets include a draft report which we had committed to be concluded by end of the second quarter. Draft reports on the universalization of the child support grant, and as I indicated, there was a draft report on the tax options for universalization of the support grant, which has been compiled and completed. Also, another target was to prepare a technical input and update the report on the benefit design options that were modeled on the adjudication mechanism revised and aligned to the technical paper. On the appeals adjudication, the target was to adjudicate 65% of appeals, and this was overachieved at 75.68% of all the appeals were being adjudicated within 90 days, and also 100% of appeals that were to be received from SASA with complete records had to be adjudicated as well within 90 days of receipt, and this target was fully met as all of the 249 appeals that were received, all of them were able to be complete in terms of adjudication being completed within 90 days. Another unit within Program 3 as well is the Inspectorate for Social Assistance. One of the targets was to complete a draft financial and compliance audit framework and also to consult on the investigation of the framework, and these two targets were fully met. But also there was a target to conduct two stakeholder roundtables, and the stakeholder partnership strategy was presented at the management committee of the department, and the approval was provided accordingly. Moving to Program 4, which is Welfare Services, Policy, Development, and Administration. Chairperson and honorable members will know that there's an underexpenditure, there's an underspending when it comes to the expenditure regarding the Program 4. And this as you know, it relates mainly to few of the programs, mainly the substance abuse, as well as the HIV/AIDS and so forth. And the explanation is being provided if you move to slide number 43. With regard to the substance abuse, the low expenses relate to the invoices not submitted by the construction companies in the construction of the substance abuse centers, especially in Northern Cape, Free State provinces. This is in terms of the cultural grant allocation. This is a grant offer about 85 million for the 2016-17 financial year. Regarding the older persons, the underspending as well is as a result of the low spending related to the planned activities that only had to take place during the third and fourth quarter. This is the same explanation as well for youth services of the 26.7 spending, as well as the HIV/AIDS. For all these three areas, it relates to the fact that the expenditure only had to occur during the third and the fourth quarter. So during the second quarter, that's why it's reflected as low expenditures. Now, moving to the actual performance in terms of the target, regarding for us to, as the annual target, to revise the white paper on social welfare, one of the things that we had targeted as our target regarding this was to establish a technical committee, and I'm happy to report that the technical team that was looking at the revision of the white paper on social welfare had been established, and members of the team were duly appointed by the minister. This was done during the first quarter, and we had reported that as such. Secondly, was for the department for the annual target to develop a demand and supply model for social services. And for the second quarter, our target was to collect data, and data had been collected by end of the second quarter, and this was done in all the provinces. Also, in terms of us submitting the recruitment and retention strategy for social services practitioners or professionals, and we had to obtain approval for that. Consultations had been conducted during the second quarter, and these were done in Northwest KwaZulu-Natal on the draft implementation plan. Moving to older persons as well as early childhood development, one of the targets was to consult in terms of meeting with the hosting province regarding the hosting of the National Active Aging Program for older persons, and the planning meetings were held during August in the period under review. Also, we had a target to align early childhood development program of action to the ECD policy, and I'm happy to report that the National Interdepartmental Committee on ECD meeting was held on the 11th of August 2016. Also, another target regarding early childhood development was to develop a project management plan, and this was done during the period under review. Moving to children's services, orphans and vulnerable children, we had a target regarding the registration of adoptions, and during the period under review, a total of 427 adoptions have been registered, with a breakdown of 389 being national and the difference, which is 38, being intercountry adoptions. Also, we had a target during the second quarter regarding the Children's Act. It should be considered by Parliament as an annual target. We had a target to present the Children's Second Amendment Bill to the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. Am I safe, Chair? During the period under review, the Treason Amendment Bill and the Treason Second Amendment Bill have been passed by the National Assembly and transmitted to the National Council of Provinces, and this was done and concluded on the 30th of August 2016. We also had a target regarding for us to conduct 9 intersectoral capacity building workshops on the children's rights and responsibilities. During the quarter during the period under review, we are targeted to have completed this in 3 provinces, and indeed, Chaperson and other members, we are able to conduct these capacity building workshops in Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, as well as Limpopo. We also had a target to finalize the report and submit the on the obligations, on the regional obligations to the AU structures, and the draft report on the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child was being finalized by end of the second quarter. On social crime prevention and victim empowerment, we also had a target to approve the draft policy framework on accreditation of diversion services, and this has been approved by DDG Forum on the draft reviewed policy framework has been approved by the DDG Forum, and that took place on the 30th of September 2016. We also had a target to train 3 provinces on the therapeutic programs, and this was done in Free State, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, as well as in Eastern Cape. So we had not only achieved 3, but 4 in terms of building capacity regarding therapeutic programs. Regarding the finalization, regarding for us to finalize the consultation on the bill and submit it to the state law advisors for certification, consultations to that effect have been done, and the consultation workshop was facilitated on the 18th of August, and this was done with DSD officials. And also on the 19th of September, a consultation meeting on the Victim Empowerment Services Bill was conducted. Proceeding to still on social crime prevention and victim empowerment, we had a target to conduct a national workshop on the draft operating policy guidelines. And Chairperson and honorable members, I'm happy to say the 2 national workshops on the Social Development Sector Academy operating policies were conducted under the period under review. We also had a target regarding the approval of the strategy on families facing imminent risk of removal of a family member, and consultation had been conducted during July and September in the 2 provinces, which is Northwest as well as Limpopo. We also had a target to consult 5 provinces on the National Drug Master Plan, and during the period under review, we not only did consult 5, but we were able to consult all 9 provinces on the development of National Drug Master Plan. Regarding to HIV-AIDS-related services, we had a target to train during the second quarter 100 organizations on psychosocial support programs, and by end of the second quarter, we can report that the department had trained 222 organizations on psychosocial support. We also had a target of training 120 community-based organizations on the on CBIMS, which is a community-based intervention monitoring system, and 161 were trained by end of the second quarter. Lastly, where we had a target to train 500 implementers on social behavior change, a total of 220, which was additional 20, which was, instead of 200, we were able to train 220, as reflected in the slide. Moving to the last program, which is social policy and integrated services, as we did indicate that this is one of the programs, including the program 1, admin, that seemed to have overspent. It was 59.5% in terms of expenditure. I'll give the explanation and move to specific details where there are issues. Number 1 refers to community development, as reflected on slide 57, where community development has spent about 61.5%, and this relates to the release of funding to the food relief agents in provinces for food relief program, which was 53 million allocation. The second one is related to the 60%, the transfer that should be done from NDA, which is during this period, 60% has been paid to the NDA in terms of the agreement. Moving to the actual performance, one relates to the NPO, this is the services we provide. One of the targets is to process 99% of the applications, and our commitment is to do this within 2 months. And all this has been fully achieved. We have also been able to conduct digital roadshows in 25 local, not only in 25 as we have targeted, but by end of the second quarter, we can report that the NPO roadshows has been done in 31 local municipal in local. 31 NPO roadshows have been conducted in 29 local municipalities. Also, during the second quarter regarding the NPO services, we had a target of providing training on governance and compliance with regard to the NPO Act. We had a target to do training on 900, but by end of the second quarter, I can report, Chairperson, that it was 1,296 NPOs that have been trained or capacitated on governance compliance. This is in line with the NPO Act. Moving to community mobilization and empowerment, our target was to consult with all provinces on capacity assessment tool, and all provinces, Chairperson, have been consulted regarding this tool. Also, another target was to develop draft guidelines on community mobilization and empowerment, and this has been fully met. We also had the target to reach 125 watts through community outreach program. By end of the second quarter, it was 317 watts that have been reached through the community outreach program. Finally, regarding the community mobilization and empowerment, we had to consult 5 provinces on the draft youth mobilization guidelines, but by end of the second quarter, it was 8 provinces that had been consulted. Proceeding as well, which is the last slide, we had a target regarding community mobilization and empowerment to consult on the framework for linking the cooperative to economic opportunities within the sector. The draft framework had been circulated by end of the second quarter to all provinces. This is for them to make their inputs and comments. And also another target was for the department to facilitate to consult on the integrated food and nutrition security plan. By end of the second quarter, Chairperson, we can report that the national security plan had been consulted and a workshop was held in Kopanong Hotel in Benoni, where the as one of the consultation sessions. We also finally had to provide food as our target for the second quarter to 15,000 vulnerable children, and by end of the second quarter, Chairperson, 68,814 people, the department makes sure that are accessing food through the community nutrition and development centers. This is where it ends, Chairperson. As I did indicate, the CFO has been covered as we integrated both presentation, but there was an additional request from the committee for us to present the organogram, and I'll leave it to the chair if Mr. Chenapin can proceed with that presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I find out from the members to whether they can deal with this part and then the organogram issues later?
Can then we start whether are these are comments or questions to the presentation?
Honorable Mabilo?
No, Chair, thanks. Just a few questions on the presentation. We have been consistent, Chair, as members of the Portfolio Committee on the targets. That has been the matter that we have been seized with. And for me now, when I go through the presentation, I find out that some of the targets were not met. And the very same reasons that were presented in the past are again given. One is that it's lack of capacity. Now, if that the question relates to lack of capacity, that what follows is what measures are in place to deal with this lack of capacity. Does it mean up to now, Chair, that we don't have the right person with the right skills in the positions that we have appointed? That will be my first question. I will ask them randomly. And broadly, in terms of the it's mostly relating to the targets. And then in relation to the workshop that you have alluded to in Ikululeni. I hope I'm correct. It's Benoni in Ikululeni. Yeah. I will be interested. Yes, it's well and good to have a workshop, but what was the outcome of the workshop? And can you just give us the question of the stakeholders who are there, so that we must be able to see, do we rotate our stakeholders, or is it the same stakeholders? And then with regard to the graduates in population studies, in terms of mentoring, how many graduates were mentored? And have you mentioned managed to do what you said you would do with regard to your graduates? So basically, those will be my questions. On finance, Chair, I think I'm fine. I will not ask financial questions. Clarify me us on that one, comrades. Oh, sorry, on, through the chair, the members, yes. I'm fine, Chair, thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation, too. Mine relates to the war veterans. Is your target set on the actual survivors or actual veterans? And how do you set your target if it is on survivors? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My first question also relates to the social assistance, the program 2, where the explanation is given for the high expenditure. My question was coming from the angle that says, what do we attribute this high expenditure? Because we know now that's the expenditure that is high, but what do we do more people... Yeah, what do we attribute it to for both the grant and aid and the war veterans? And then I know that in one of the previous presentations I asked this question and I was given a very clear explanation as to the reason why the presentation is more stats or quantitative and not qualitative in terms of the work that is done and the targets are achieved, to say that is how it's always been reported and this is the way that works. But I would like to know, especially where the targets have been exceeded, if we have worked on what we agreed before, that we need to look at our baselines, and because now it looks like we target too low, and then it looks like we are overachieving, which is good. But I just want to know if any sort of reworking of the actual baseline has taken place, and if that is what is still persisting to happen. And then I had a question on the slide number 43 that is on program 4 that speaks to the low spending. I just want to know, because some of these things, that, for example, this one says the invoices were not submitted by the construction companies. I just want to know if that affected the actual work and we just had these things done and the work continues to happen, but we're not paying because the construction companies did not... submit the invoices, and that's just my I have a concern that we have not paid them, but they've done the work. What is the situation there? Thanks, Chair.
Well, I request Honourable Joseph to hold so that they respond to the current questions. Then you are going to be the first, so that matters don't get lost.
Thanks, Chairperson. I've got colleagues that will respond to specific issues, issues relating to HR, Mr. Devin, relating to the first question that was asked by Honourable Mabilo. There was also a question that Mr. Nechipala can respond to in terms of the workshop that was held in Kopanong, in terms of its what then were the reasons. There's a question as well on the graduate and population studies, and so forth. But there are also other questions relating to social security, and I'm sure our colleagues from SASA can help us in terms of making input towards that. And the finance-related questions, the CFO will respond accordingly, Chairperson.
Thank you. Good morning. With regards to Ms. Masango's questions, with regards to the exceeded targets, even though we exceed the targets, there's no baselines, other baselines that affect it. So it's not that we under budget for any of these targets. A lot of these targets is also targets achieved within provinces and where we also spend some of the funding. So it's not, it's a combination between national and provincial funding that's happening here. But from a national perspective, we're not compromising any other program in this regard. And with regards to the substance abuse spending, the slow rate of the spending, we had a problem in the Northern Cape. We had litigation. The entire project was halted. Someone disputed the tender process. We went back to court, and we eventually won the case. So construction will only resume now. So we didn't even start it with construction in the Northern Cape. In the Free State, we had a labor unrest. The contractor on site had these people started labor unrest. They stopped working. But in the Free State, at least, we're now on 30% in terms of progress. We are having engagements with them from a national perspective. We're going out there next week again so that we could get a revised works program so that we can have these sites up and running by the 1st of September this year, because we've got operational budget for this year, so the risk is that the operational budget will go away if we not start operating those two centers in this financial year. Thanks.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. There was a question on the workshop in Benoni. The target which was set was that after we developed the integrated food and nutrition security plan for the country, each department is supposed to have consultations with its own stakeholders. Stakeholders here means all nine provinces, Department of Agriculture, Department of Health, Department of Rural Development, and the local government. So as part and parcel of the second quarter, we gather to present the plan and to agree on how, as a country, we will implement an integrated plan from our side. You remember very well that the joint cabinet, joint portfolio committees requested that we develop an integrated plan. That went to cabinet last year in September, and one of the activity was that from the market point of view, we need to say in delivering the food that we have, what support do we get from agriculture, from health, rural development, and local government. So that was the purpose for the target set. Thank you.
A clarity. What does this infrastructure relate to? The infrastructure that Honorable Masango asked about, the low, yes, or what, yes, as long, but maybe are you not learning lessons so that whenever you are involved in infrastructure development, whether it's the ECD, whether it's the rehabilitation center, but I think there should be a way of ensuring that you have a norm, a standard as to a protocol that says when we are going to be engaged in infrastructure, these are the areas to be touched, because we have to involve the local municipality there, to involve the provincial government there, so that some of these hiccups, like workers rebelling, other people complaining that they didn't know what's going on. I think in terms we need to develop, because we won't go back to say allow public works to do that, because you changed it because there were challenges. Infrastructure not moving, funds having been allocated to another department. But for us to move forward, I think there should be specific protocols as to when you deal with such, this is what happens, and this is how you get feedback. Because many a time, I can tell you that sometimes you will come and fail to answer questions because that information is not with you yet. Because you're standing there, and therefore the work is not national, it is local. So I think the protocol as to how to receive reports, what if the worker's stoppage is almost 3 months and you are not informed of that, and then we come and be not a good, really, really kind to you in terms of us wanting to know what actually happened. So I think I wanted to ask her that rhetoric question because, after all, I ended up answering it myself. Then can we proceed to Honorable Joste?
Just two questions regarding the granting aid as well as the water for veterans grant in terms of the increase and from Honorable Beth. And my colleague Brenton will respond, and colleagues from SASA can make additions. Thanks.
SASA members, you are welcome. Then, do as expected.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of Portfolio Committee. On the War Veterans Grant, these are, I think, I missed the question, but I think the question was, are these beneficiaries or families of beneficiaries? These are only the beneficiaries, and it's, and we don't take any new applications on this grant. So these are existing beneficiaries. They've been there since World War II, and I don't know how to say this politely, but, you know, the projection is when we project, we're trying to project how fast are they going to die, because that's how they come off the War Veterans Grant. So we projected 162, but I suppose due to better health care, et cetera, they are living longer than expected. So it's 207. The number is, however, very small, so it doesn't really have any real significant impact on our budget, except that it creates a huge deviation because of such a small number. When you're working with big numbers like the child support grant, you can be wrong by a couple of hundred thousand, and it will be a very small percentage. But when you're working with a very small number, if you're just wrong by three or four, it creates a huge deviation. Similarly, with the grant in aid, the numbers are also small, so we do get quite large deviations on that. And it has been a program that we've been promoting quite a lot, specifically for our disability grant beneficiaries and for our old age grant beneficiaries. So the uptake has just been a lot more than originally anticipated.
Maybe we must also ensure that this care of these veterans becomes holistic while we have not gone the route of universalization. Because if you say elderly, you can also refer to that as disability. Because as you grow older, there are matters, the issues that cause that you can no longer function. But I think also time, as time goes on and their number becomes fewer, it's important that we try to not to focus on only grant, but also to have a look into various grants that can enable improve their quality of life. This doesn't indicate something wrong has been done, but it's adding to your good work that while we care for them, we must also know that prices of everything are continuously being increased, your travel, transport, etc. So I think there are a lot of things that they can be holistically looked after so that the little time they are left with before they depart is fully enjoyed. But can I ask one thing on this issue of children's grant? You will remember, honorable members, that we spoke a lot about the poverty that exists out there. I think I saw in this presentation last night when I was reading something that is talking about reduction that was associated with 18 years old. When you become 18 years old, you're still in grade 8. And there are a lot of those children when they really need this grant for traveling to school, doing all these things, they are getting into high school, but they are still 8. They are only 18. Grant immediately stops. There has been a lot of such complaints. But when I asked the DDG, she said on over the phone that you have only improved or increased the years insofar as those who are under foster care, not those who are grant recipients. I don't know whether you can clarify us, because it is a cry in all provinces that you would keep your child younger if you can afford. Once this anxiety that this is birthday, 18 years, now everything is gone, we are all poor. Can we then clarify that? And I allow the minister to, deputy minister to also say something insofar, because it's a principle, it's a policy matter. That's why I'm also referring it to the executive.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to thank you for the question. I think I'll just answer the 18-year-old one because it's a policy issue. With regards to foster care, the committee would remember we brought the amendments to the Children's Act that, firstly, you are a child up to the age of 18, and that is how a child is defined. Once you reach the age of 18, you are no longer a child. You are now an adult. So what we've discussed, the issue around poverty as well as the transition, we brought the amendments of the Children's Act, the section that enabled us to say we needed to regularize the different ages, which was also a concern the committee had raised with us, that you can have sex when you are 16, you can get a job when you are 16, you can, all of the different age issues needed to be consolidated. That brought also the age of 21, between 18 and 21. So firstly, we've managed to resolve that issue around the issue of foster care, but it comes with conditions, and that is how the Act is amended, that you have to be in school. Even as a foster child, it's not automatic. There needs to be evidence that this child is in school. With regards to the child support grant, that has been, the minister has presented that, and that is prior to it even becoming a discussion. It goes through the internal processes because there's a huge cost, not only in terms of the allocation of the budget, but in terms of the administration, but also in terms of the conditions. So that is where it is at the moment. When the child turns 18, the child does not get the grant, but there is the transition between the grant in aid, I mean the SRD, social relief of distress, as well as the child still being in school. That policy discussion is still a policy discussion at different levels in terms of the comprehensive social security. We're not at the stage where we can increase the grant in terms of legislation yet. But we have looked at it, and we have developed the discussion document, and it is currently being discussed because it also has a direct impact on the social wage and the economic situation we find ourselves in as a country right now. Thank you very much, Chair.
But I remember very well, Honorable Bulane, when we were dealing with those amendments, the issue that was defining a child who is unable to look after him or herself, if you remember that particular clause. And for me, I don't think we can delay this matter anymore. This is the real cancer, because a child is a child. And when we were talking about children, we were actually saying there should be universalization. If we are an orphan and your mother is not working, is a single mother, or your parents are both there, but they are all already getting grant themselves. How can one who is being fostered have a better life against the one who is being looked by the parent, who is also dependent on government? I think this is urgent, and I think this committee must recommend very clearly that we must intervene, because many a time they can't even get uniform, because uniform is not at that level when you go to tertiary. There's a lot that these children are exposed to, and that's why they are dropouts, because they cannot continue to go to school hungry. And I think concretely, this is a policy matter, Deputy Minister. That's why we are instructing that next time when you come, we must have answers. People were really, really phoning, saying, my child is 18. She has been staying next to school in an informal arrangement and is without food, is without rent. So I think this is a matter we can't discriminate and say these children are supposed to be looked after better than such children. Otherwise, that's not equality. There's an answer there.
Chairperson, I wanted to make a proposal. As Deputy Minister said, you know, we've drafted policy positions on many of these things, and some of them as well as Member Uster recently wrote a parliamentary question to us asking about the nutritional value of grants and just the size of grants. So there's a couple of policy options that are available, such as should one increase the value of the child support grant, should one universalize the child support grant, should one extend the child support grant to beyond 18. And I think the chairperson is very correct. We've seen now a lot of research that, you know, when children are or the research that Tabani just analyzed recently was showing that of the matrix who write, who have passed their matriculant examination, the percentage who are CSG beneficiaries perform a lot better than those that aren't CSG beneficiaries. In other words, those that have come off the grant who are 19, 20 in matric are not performing that well as those who are still 18, still on the grant, etc. Not saying there's a direct relationship, but there's a correlation on that. But there's a lot of policy options around CSG, and a question in a limited fiscal space, which ones are the right ones to do first? And I think that's a very interesting debate for the committee to have. This was all collected and published in the Child Gauge of 2015. And it might be useful to ask the authors of that to present those policy options to the Portfolio Committee. Hopefully before the Portfolio Committee instructs us on which one to pursue as the best option.
Maybe honorable members will, through the whip of the committee, we will have to take this and raise motions and allow debate so that also we get the views of the larger other related portfolio committees participating, because it's a national issue. And we need to address it because it contributes more to inability to learn further, because we are almost desperate and we have to look for work. And what type of work when you have not even gone to tertiary education?
No, thank you, Honourable Chair. I've been covered.
So we will move to the next point. Just one minute while you are putting, you can be fixing, or is there already? This issue, Nechipale. Now I'm working with a. Who's that NEC member with this? Yes, it's Joel Nechipale. Yes. So I don't know when is where, when there's Nechitense and when there's Nechipale. But the first one seems to be the same. This issue of food, the one you have mentioned, that one is very badly done. I think this access to food, always, even if you've got a party, access to food is difficult, even when you are in a party, even when you are in a funeral. Yes, getting a plate is always a huge competition. And others even try to get a second one. And we have a takeaway as well. It is very much in demand. And I was told so somewhere that a person was supposed to get one parcel times 3 months. And the complaint was saying they were getting one food parcel. When I went to some nearest SASA office, they said, yes, it's correct. That's what we do. Because maybe the counselor, when bringing the number, there are thousands left. And this 50 that has come will get times 3. We end up now taking the other 1-2 to the others who are in that 1,000. And then it also breeds suspicions of corruption that I was supposed to get 3, but they gave me only 1. Once when I went there, there was no more food. And the storage, where they have to keep this food for a very long time. And the issue of your vendors, where people buy, they actually change the prices when they know that is being accessed. For that vendor, all prices in that day are increased, and they fall after people have already come and buy because they are grant recipients. So there's very dishonesty in serving these people. And the other issue also being the fact that if it's about bread, about mealy-meal, they clean their shelves and put this stale food aside and put a fresh food for us to come and buy. And then they take the bulk that was not bought last month and take it to our people. Our people have become dogs, where we give them something that is no longer good for those who can pay. And we are precisely wanting to, the inspectorate department, we thought it would also deal with that. We need to do some inspection. Do some inspection of where our people are supposed to go and buy. They are treated equally because they are all buyers. Why should they pay more? Or why they should get less fresh food, and yet they pay the same amount? I think that inspectorate department must be checked up, and then we will take it from there. But as an oversight a program, we are also going to really ambush, come and see this vendor without notice, and so that we can be able to practically learn from what our people are saying. Not all is well. And I'm also keen that that area must not be an issue delayed. I think that Unetepale will give us a report, rough report on these allegations, so that we are not left behind. We are in a position to know that we interrogated this area, this is the information we were given, and this is the program we are engaged in. I would really urge that we keep these records. And also this geographical distribution of where this food goes. Yes, poverty is too much. Competition is too much. Reaching them all is impossible. But as to how far you go, so that we always cover your back and we cover our backs. The world is changing every time. People are becoming more aware and aware of their rights. We need to be having ready answers all the time. I thank you for this one input. Can we go to your very important, the engine? Yes. The engine. We can achieve everything, everything, if we have this engine well oiled. And if we have your performance contract started to ensure that you are tied to this target. The Honorable Member raises issues of not achieving targets. We must know if you will get a bonus. whether you have managed half your target, so we give you half. If you don't achieve anything, we give you nothing. I don't know whether that still exists, but in your performance contract, we must tie you, because as long as we have not tied you properly and very, very much tie you, we will not be able to penalize you, because one can easily stand up through lawyers and say, no, this was never in the performance contract that I signed. So we now want you to tie you down. If someone was to do work streams, was that in their contract in SASSA? If they were to do work streams, if they didn't do work streams, yet it was in their contract, the culprit is easier. So let's do, that is the engine. The engine is coming. The engine is coming.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I also thank you for the opportunity. I've been requested to present the organizational structure, the organogram for Program 1, but I thought it prudent that we locate organogram Program 1 within the broader organizational structure. And also to touch on the current status of the organizational structure. Honorable Chairperson, as a way of background, the HESI structure which we're operating on now has been approved on the 29th of May 2015 due to the NMOS process. That was the national macro organizing of the state, where the Department of Social Development took on two functions, the children's rights and the rights of persons with disabilities. So that was the approved structure where we had to incorporate those two functions. Subsequently to that, we had budget cuts. The announcement of budget cuts and cost containment measures throughout the public service with a large impact on the compensation of employees' budget. That then forced us to relook at the issue around optimization and efficiencies in the structure. And we had engaged, given the importance and impact of this process was actually managed by the executive committee of the department, and not less than 7 or 8 engagements back and forth that we went on the issue of the structure and the prioritization of posts. And then the minister approved the structure on the 8th of December 2016. High level implication of the structure. Structure has been reduced from approximately 10 branches to now currently 7 branches. The 3 affected branches was the issue of social policy, which was a branch, the branch NPO and the branch on disability. We also, as we were reviewing the structure and looking at efficiencies, we looked at the reduction in the span of control of the DG, because the current structure was the DG was overloaded with reporting responsibilities. And we also then looked at the relocation and appropriate placement of certain units and functions. That's basically a tabulated version of what the structure was, the old structure with the 10 branches and the remaining, the new structure with the 7 branches, including then the Office of the Office of the Director General and the Ministry. I've taken the liberty of printing the structure on an A3, and that is the current structure with the 7 branches, and the current structure would have a branch on comprehensive social security, the second branch would be specialized services and children, then we have welfare services and family, and a branch community development. That 4 branches are in the main, your line function branches, and then we start with the branch on program 1, which is the branch financial management, the branch corporate services, and also we had a branch which was called strategy and organizational transformation, now called chief operations office.
That's the three branches. So if I can move to the line function, would then be your four branches. If I can zoom into the program one branch on financial management, it has three chief directorates, one on cost and management accounting. The next chief director deals with financial management and administration. And we brought in the chief directorate auxiliary services under the CFO. And you see there's a directorate there that reports directly to the CFO, which is internal control for the obvious reasons of objectivity and direct reporting. The auxiliary services was previously in corporate services, and part of the reorganization meant us dealing with, as part of the efficiency, dealing with the span of control. And we found it appropriate to put the auxiliary services because it deals largely in the main with financial issues. The infrastructure management is largely managing an infrastructure grant and the development of infrastructure, facilities and asset management as a strong financial implication, as well as security management. Apart from the issue of security management being the physical security, they currently hold the responsibility of facilities, the facility management within the department. So that's your branch on financial management. In terms of the branch corporate services, and this is the first time we have the branch that is going to be filled at corporate services. The last it existed in around 2002, headed by a chief director. But given the volume of the work, it has been elevated to a branch, and we are at advanced stage of filling the DDG corporate services. Corporate services is made up of human capital management that is responsible for human resource management, that's your recruitment, organizational design and HR planning that deals with your organizational structures, human resource development and performance management, what the chairperson turned on, making sure that officials have performance agreements, signed performance agreements, they have work plans, their performance are assessed, and they get due recognition for that. Chief Directorate Information Management and Systems, responsible for the IT, entire function of IT, both at the department and at the sector level. We have the Chief Director of Communications, which has media relations, public liaison, and corporate communication, which is largely your internal focus. And your last Chief Director there is Legal Services. They have three directors of Legal Services, which deals with the areas of legal services, that is your litigation, policy development, and contract management. So it is, instead of having three directors specializing in contract management, litigation, we have them on a rotational basis, all doing the same thing. The last branch is the branch Chief Operations Office. It has the Chief Director's Monitoring and Evaluation that existed, which has four directorates. Then we have the Chief Director's Strategy and Change Management. We have the Chief Director's Population and Development. And you'll see that Population and Development is now inclusive of research and policy. When we downgraded or took a decision not to fill the social policy as a branch, it was then collapsed into this chief director. The nature of the work of social policy and population development is largely relating to each other, talking to one another. Hence, we put it under the chief directorate. The issue of gender, the chief director's gender, largely responsible for the issues around woman empowerment. The branch also has two other chief directors. The issue of the chief risk officer. Previously, the chief risk officer reported to the DG, and the span of control of the DG at that stage was around 13 to 1. and the chief risk officer, given the strategic nature of its work, has been located under the branch COO. The fifth chief directorate in the branch would be your chief directorate special projects and innovation that deals with the issues around EPWP, sectoral planning, institution coordination. But they also do the EPWP and some work around the military veterans work. Included in program one, or reporting to program one, would then be your office of the DG. The DG's office is manned by a chief director, and there's two directorates there, mainly the cluster coordination and administrative cabinet. Given the fact that we had a cut in the compensation and we could not fill posts, you'll see that some of these posts are in red and there's no intention to fill them at this stage because the long and the short is we do not have the money. We had to go through a prioritization process of which post which is critical and which we will fund, and we could only afford, given the financial cuts, we could only afford to prioritize 9 posts in this financial year. Hence, you see that our vacancy rate has remained consistent at 14% because of the posts that we could not fill. The other unit reporting to in program one is internal audit, reporting directly to the DG. We have a chief director of internal audit services. It's new. A chief director is new because we previously had one director doing the internal audit function, and questions and issues were raised by the audit committee, and we needed to elevate that function to cover the issue of financial compliance and then the issue of performance. Compliance and performance auditing, including then IT auditing. So that has been elevated, that post has been prioritized, and we're at an advanced stage of filling that. That's one of the posts that has been prioritized. And then the other area, other unit in minutes is in program one is all the staff around the ministry. And in the ministry, we have the stakeholder management and donor coordination function, international relations, parliamentary officer, and the others are prescribed kind of through the handbook, the protocol, the spokesperson, and media function. The department took a specific approach with regard to the issue of strategic management and international relations. Generally, this is in the office of the DG, but given the nature, the minister felt it appropriate that it is there, because all international travel is approved by the minister, and administratively it was managed. And this actually was supported by the DPSA, given the work of the department. Largely, I thought it also appropriate to give an indication of the post-establishment in terms of what program one is in relation to the other programs. So you'll see in program one administration, we have a total of 401 posts. Of that filled is 312. I'll talk on a vacant post at the end. In Social Security program three, 98 posts, 80 filled. Welfare services, policy development, 170 posts, 152 filled. And social policy and integrated service delivery, 104, 106 posts are filled. We have a total of 159 vacant posts. That 159 vacant posts, as I said earlier, will not be filled given the compensation cut in the compensation budget. And the approach we used was that there's been a cut in the compensation, the COO can confirm, but there's in the first year, a 30 million, in the second year, 70 million, a 40 million, overall 70 million in the compensation budget from the financial year 2018, and we therefore had to manage it with our vacant post. Instead of shrinking the structure, we looked at putting an old on the vacant 159 and calculated what is our current full post and how much money we have. And we came to then the conclusion that we only had money for 9 vacant posts, given the fact that some of the contract posts in the structure had to become permanent given the nature of the work they do, which would, an easy example would be the issue around the command center, the GCB, GVP command center, the gender-based violence command center. 21 posts, we had to convert it into permanent because that function would become permanent and we had to recalculate the function. What we're currently doing in terms of the vacant post, it is a process managed by the executive committee. The principal agreement is that only those 9 posts will be filled. Posts becoming vacant thereafter can be a decision can be taken by the program manager, taking into account operational requirements. The form and shape may not necessarily be the same, and that's the latitude for the post becoming vacant. For example, in HDM, we had two vacant posts, Director HR and Director Labor Relations, which we do not have money, it's not part of the prioritized post. If a deputy director post becomes vacant, the decision would be, do you want to fill that post as a deputy director, or you want to then prioritize the Director Labor Relations or HR. And that's the latitude all the program managers would have. In terms of the critical post that needs to be filled, and as you go along the structure, you will see that there are some posts that are there that needs critical, they are critical and need funding. We have taken a decision to look at what are the options of funding those posts, and that would be looking at an option of early retirement. We have investigated that. It is possible to offer early retirement between the period of 55 and 60, where the department would carry the penalty. But that is a process in itself. We need to identify posts that would not be filled and use that money to fill the critical posts. So we're waiting for approval in terms of those identified posts. In conclusion, Honorable Chairperson and members, the structure that has been approved by the Minister in December has been submitted to the DPSA for concurrence. We have received a response indicating that they've noted it. We're just doing a follow-up whether that is indeed concurrence. But it has been submitted and they've been part of the process. We are currently having consultation with branches given the impact of the structure, given the fact that people are going to be moved, and given the fact, and the most important one, that we need to be reorganizing within branches given the fact that there's no money to fill certain posts within that unit. So we're engaging with branches to share the information on the changes, deal with the change management process, including then which posts will be critical for them in the future that they will want to fill, that we don't take it out of the structure. And lastly, we're engaging with them to identify posts, given the fact that we know we have no money and we might not get any money, which post can we take out of the structure that has an impact on the vacancy rate. We're hoping to implement the structure 1 April 2017, having followed all of those processes. Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable.
Thank you so much for your input. The presentation is very clear. Can I allow members to engage Honorable Mapulane, Honorable Bev, Honorable Masango, and Honorable next door? Yes, sir. I've acknowledged that I'm a
little bit. No, Chairperson, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. But one chair will say the process has gone because now the structure is being submitted in DPSA. So I don't know our involvement now or our engagement will it assist. But it was an informative a presentation. Chair, when we talk about issues of organizational design, that vis-a-vis question of change management, that includes human capital. And my point, it will be more on workers. Number one, I will ask whether there was a team that dealing with this change management, was labor part of it or not. Why I'm asking this, the strike of Nihau, this is the cause, one of their grievances into the department. If all the labor, both whether PSA or Nihau, was part of each chair, as this committee, it will either well with us. Number two, the structure bury other employees alive that are in the department. And process of change management is not a nice process, Chair. Especially, okay, social development, maybe through the Deputy Minister, you are fortunate you will take your staff to debriefing after this. Chair, on the presentation, one thing that makes one to wonder, on page 3, the high level implications, the reduction from 10 branches to 7 branches, no social policy, NPO, and disability branch. Out of all of them, disability branch, why are you killing disability branch? Why are you killing disability branch? It came back from children with disability. It comes to social development. You are killing it. When we talk about the inclusion of disability, social development doesn't include them in a very strategic level. Are we saying South Africa we're addressing issues of disability correctly? But your department is not doing that. Deputy Minister, Chair, to you, Deputy Minister, the department is not doing justice on people with disability. I'm a mother with a child who's disabled, so my child is not protected. If the department that I'm sitting is doing this, it's not good. You put 7 branches. On 7 branches, you say comprehensive social security, specialized service. Now let me go to the corporate service. You kill disability, you put CFO as a branch. It never happened. If DPSA was there, I so wish I was there. Why didn't it go under corporate service? Why chief director, why CFO must be a branch on its own? Why didn't it go under corporate service? If maybe the department didn't have other models, they could even consult the private sector to check which model will they take before they do this. But we can't, Chair, take out the disability as a branch. The issues of disability in our country are not being addressed well. So we are saying that all the issues, you can't reduce it to branch. You see the SEBND, the department is doing that. And you said the DPSA was part of this process. I wonder why they didn't advise you on the issue of disability. The Employment Equity Act is not being met 100% in, is it 23 years of our democracy? The chances of people with a disability to be absorbed in the market out of 100% and 98%, they're very slim. They can't get jobs. And social development, we said we are here to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. We are here to build, but you are destroying. With CHEB, I don't know because the structure has been submitted. I will say that the branch corporate service, CFO, usually in the branch corporate service, it will be your finance, your human capital, your legal, your ICT, in a modern structure. But with you, we can't do this. So I don't know, Chair, how your COO, those fall under corporate service DGs. So you see this corporate service structure has killed the issue of the social policy, they kill the NPO. Okay, NPO, you can locate it somewhere. Issue of social policy. Policy is weak. It's part of the core of social development, and it has killed the disability. You know what? To put this to the COO and the CFO, those ones must come under the corporate service. Any, you can go anywhere. Just one their structure, they will tell you. Issues of, okay, the IT, I was saying, comrade, so lady, to check IT where it is, because this son is a specialist there. Okay, it falls under corporate service. It's better. Chair, I can't comment further. The other question I wanted to know is whether this structure was costed in terms of monetary value, how much it's going to cost. So we are back, Chair, because there's a lot here.
You will. We have added your hand, but there were hands already. Okay. Can we go into the arrangement? I think it's Honorable Bell.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, thanks, Honorable Bulani has covered me greatly. I just want some clarity on new posts and created posts and brand new posts. And then it's very critical post, these new posts, the governance and performance, and then also the chief risk office management is very critical. So how did the department operate without these critical posts? And then I'd like to echo and add my voice to the disability branch. It's a very critical in our country, people with a disability, and we need not forget that people with a disability must never be just removed in whatever or just be added somewhere else. They need to be on their own. So it's very critical, and for us it works with people with disability and some of our members that have children with people with a disability. It directly impacts on us, so we feel it. The contracted post versus the permanent converted post, how does that affect the budget? And then also the benefits that a contract worker receives versus a permanent worker. Are they employed, re-employed permanent on the same scale, or is there an adjustment made? Thank you, Chairperson.
I had requested that we go in line. I think it's Mama Masango, then Dada Mabilo, and Mama Soledi.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is just two questions of clarity. And the first one is, it relates to when the presentation was made, it was said that the red positions are not going to be filled. Is that what was said? If that is the case, does that mean that the branch corporate support services is not going to be filled? I just wanted to clarify that. And the second one is that, and I believe the big part of this question has been covered by the questions that have been asked before me, is that this structure that we have now is a structure that has been informed by some best practice somewhere, and because I can't say if it's working or not, because it's just been approved and it's to be implemented, to say how do we have some kind of assurance that it's not going to put pressure on people because of the reduction of branches and things like that, that the work that the Social Development Department is supposed to do, those people that are now in the structure are going to be able to implement the work that they are supposed to do. I'm just looking after something that says be assured that this structure, it comes from some best practice where it comes from, and also it's not going to hinder or impede the work that the department is doing. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable member will also note that you will come back, because there is a big question that says we were not part of the process. And therefore, once all the input has been done, we need to look on ways and not leave matters to the department, because we'll be called upon to account once it is dysfunctional. Honorable Mavilo.
No, no, thanks. Let me also welcome the presentation. Chair, I think as a pragmatist, I know the fact that this organogram is developed in the context of a tough global environment in relation to the fiscus, doing much with less. That's the principle that is underpinning the government as a whole. Okay. I just want to check in terms of overall the impact on the workload in relation to the posts that are not filled, because DSD is a service delivery department where necessarily you don't require automation. You need human capital, personnel. So in as much as I understand what underpinned the process of what you said, prioritization, efficiency, and so, which is very good. But I'm just interested in terms of the impact on the workload, and are you going to, as well as the de-establishment of posts that are not key and critical, or the declaration of posts defunct or redundant? I didn't pick that up, so that we have a clear understanding. And then, does it mean now, once this process, this organogram is implemented, in terms of natural attrition, posts will not necessarily be filled as a result of that, so that we are clear. And then in terms of the vacancy rate, are you saying that this is quite acceptable for your department at this stage? And then I recognize the question of the public service, whereby if you are acting, you are getting 37% if you are on contract, commensurate to your salary. Is that also factored in, and its implication for the limited budget? But overall, I think I understand the broad thrust of the organogram. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Hey, hang on, I'm not in New York. Chairperson, I think my point is on what Honorable Mokgotsi has raised on the issue of the disability. It's a national issue. It's a national issue, and it's a matter of national importance. I think I was reading in one of the, I'm trying to check yesterday where I was reading it, whether it was one of the newspapers or was it a magazine, something that I read yesterday, although I didn't pay much attention on it, because apparently SASSA will always take everything from us, we focus on it. Social development has been cited as one of those departments that are not doing well in terms of advocating for the people that are persons living with disability. They quoted the issue of equity. I think the issue of equity, that it should, under normal circumstances, because it's their department that is tasked with the responsibility, they should be moving better than any other departments. We understand that most departments are moving in a snail pace, others are not even moving in terms of making sure that they mainstream the issue within their departments. So I was a little bit disappointed, although I didn't pay much attention, Chairperson. Now when I see this structure, then the structure confirms exactly what I necessarily read in that document, that social development is really not moving. I mean, really, we are almost 3.5 years, or is it 2.5 years, moving to the third year, and one would have expected by now that it reflects on this organogram. Perhaps if it was 2 years, if it was a year ago, would say that because the function have been moved from one area social development, then there is that delay. But it can't be. It can be at this time. It can be. It can be. It can be. It's a bit really because this, like Honorable Mokoti has said, it didn't come to the portfolio committee. Because as much as we do oversight, we also advise. Our work is not only limited to doing oversight. We advise our own department on how to move forward. We're not going to dictate to them, but the voice that comes from the portfolio committee is very, very important. So, Chairperson, I don't know in where we are seated, what is the explanation that we are going to get. And up front, Chairperson, whatever explanation, to me, it will never resonate until I see it made a branch. That's my point. Until I see that. Not because what Honorable Mokoti was raising, I always say, Chairperson, in the portfolio committee, I come from the family of a very fortunate family because I know that I've experienced a child who is deaf. Currently, I'm dealing with a child who is my grandson who is autistic. I'm in the shoes of almost every kind of a disability. So when they look at us as public representative, they want us to fight for them, to represent them. How do we then go out and say to the nation that we have moved this function, but now this function we have taken it to be a supplement that is by the way thing. I take it that is just a by the way thing, and that is not correct. It shouldn't be a by the way thing. It should be where it's supposed to be, as a branch that has got a fully functional everything that they need. Everything. That one should not be compromised at any cost. The other issue, Chairperson, as a structure AC, I'm not an expert about in structures, but I'm just so worried because it seems as if it's a structure that is, I would liken it to a child who has got a kwashiorkor. Umntana onekwashiorkor banentloko engaka. Isisu sithi, ingqondo zakhe, imilenze, you understand, a child who has got a kwashiorkor. It's such a very big structure in administration. Sikhulu inhloko engaka phakwe administration. I don't know how they get to that. The guiding, I'm speaking under correction here because there should be a document that guides us on how you establish the structure. Because the way and manner in which the management, it's like we are creating an employment for other people that would want to see them in those positions, but I'm just assuming I might not be correct in that. For example, I said I'm not an expert, but hey, you can see when things aren't going well. You have a gender. Let me take you to the chief director gender. It's a director, women empowered, and gender focal point. Is it not the one thing? Is it not one thing that should be been combined together and be made under one chief director? Because that's exactly one, gender and women empowerment and gender focal point, unless really you really don't understand this. Because it's actually a special program. It's a special program because when you move towards that branch that said chief director, special project and innovation, what are those special projects? Because gender is a special program. Gender is a special program. So are you creating, have you created this for whatever reason that I don't know, because this is a duplication of what is supposed to be done by one person. You can have a chief director for all of those things. Your chief director would have people who would be working under that chief director. So this one person really, it makes a person to be suspicious. What is really going on here? What is really going on? You can't duplicate that. Let's get to another one. Also, perhaps I'll need a clarity. The branch, the specialized services, which is a new branch. You have a chief director for anti-substance abuse, social crime prevention, who is the director, integrated anti-substance abuse program. Is it not the same thing? I'm really asking. Isn't it the same thing? Isn't it the same thing? And all of those things that we have done there, those are the things that you should, that money that you'll be paying those people, that's the money that should be catering for the branch that is of national importance, that is, we cannot compromise that branch. There's a lot. If you look at the structure, I'm not an expert, but at least I'm able to read English. You can even get to that one of the branch children and family and professional service there. There is where it says children protection is a new thing, child abuse and neglect is a new thing, and then foster care and andimazi usi YCC umele ntoni. Yes. That I also believe, you put them in one thing. You put them in one thing, you keep them in one thing, you become, because when you have that chief director that is responsible for all of those things, there are people who will be working under that chief director. I'm really not happy because Uba, the administration, it seems as if it's very huge, the structure for administration. I'm not so sure where is their wage bill standing. And after this thing, after adopting of this program, how is it going to look like? Because that is also important. It is their wage bill, Chairperson. We know that Ukubaba Mekwe P now, but as it is, looking at it, I'm a dot. We cannot make government an employment agent. That one, we cannot make it.
Can I be allowed to put some proposal towards at managing this whole issue? Because we are meeting for the first time, and we have seen, we know that poor relations, healthy relations with the employees. This matter also being cited that there was no political will to consult during this whole process. My suggestion is that we're hearing this for the first time, and these questions cannot be responded to as we speak. And I think what you have been able to do was to bring some awareness and consciousness into what issues to be interrogated in this matter. But here in South Africa, I've always found a situation at all levels, honorable members, when we deal with organograms, that DBSA becomes the key person. Even if we transform from one type of structure to another, maybe you had a particular municipal, as long as UDBSA is the one who I don't know whether they approve or what, but there is no engagement of those people who are doing the work in the form of executives. And therefore, in establishing this state, this is the state, and our ministers, the executives, are the policy directors. The state is here. And when we fail, the state fails, because you have done your policy direction and establishment, but it can't translate into transformation because the state is not ready. So this matter has been raised in many platforms that the state is failing the governance part of it. So my suggestion, concrete one, is that I don't see this portfolio committee unable to invite, especially DBC, to actually, because with this arrangement, we are set to fail. Given, when we talk here, we are talking about so many thousands of social workers who have not been absorbed, who are out there in the cold, and the issue of using service providers with huge amounts, where you could have enforced that skill and then increased your base. I know of a particular department or portfolio committee in this parliament where it has been proved that the management, the executive, is two times bigger than the base. It is changed from being small at the top and broad at the lower end. It is broad after there is a department that has come up clearly, the portfolio committee members saying, how can you be so huge and here they are so thin? It's like a tree now. You know, the leaves and the other things are up there, but here where the tree is actually enrooted, it's only one. So I think this is a great matter. Even the issue that it has been submitted, I think we need a workshop. Secretary of this portfolio committee, we have spoken in many times about workshops. We have recommended workshops, but those workshops were more dependent on the department coming forward to do it. But it has never happened, not on this matter. On various matters where we wanted to be workshopped so that we can understand the issues together with it, to be on the same level. We have never got that privilege. But I've seen also bags here in Parliament carried by members, my colleagues, written department, workshop. I've seen human resource with executive bags where they were coming out of a workshop and with every other thing that was capacitating your members so that they are able to understand and work with you at that particular level. This one, when we first came, if you remember, it was the first proposal that let's have a view on the issue of organogram. We have called for this organogram even before it was taken to submitted to DBSA, because we understood that the radical transformation depend on the engine. And I concretely learned by requesting members that why don't we request that the department go back without answering these questions so clearly where they are, and not bring another presentation, but come to make suggestions. How are we going to be taken on board? And also, I propose, honorable members, that this committee invites the executive of NIHAV just to listen issues that they have written to raise insofar as the structure being developed, so that we can be able to learn from them what happened, why are they now bickering. So I think we need to go that route. But for now, no questions are going to be answered. Our recommendations is that you are going to come with clear presentation as to how do we take this matter forward. No, we don't want to make recommendations, go and do this, go and do this, because we have just received the information and we were not aware. So are you still on, Honorable Pulan?
I think the question that won't make me to sleep, if they said they have already submitted the structure in DPSA, or signed off and it's in DPSA, and the implementation was supposed to be on the 1st of April, Chair. One wants to ask whether there's any feedback from the DPSA. Just only that. Because, Chairperson, if the DPSA can approve it, already the department will go with it. But the DPSA that I know, they won't approve the branch of CFO and leave the disability. That will be a problem. Thank you.
Can we have a comments? You can comment because we have been speaking, and then later answer the question. Then we'll close the meeting. Just feel free. This is work in progress.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members. Let me say this, that there is an acknowledgement in the department that this is not an ideal structure. Maybe it was an omission on my part to have mentioned it. There is this acknowledgement. And as a parallel process, we have agreed that we need to do a proper strategic alignment, and your structure will need to follow that strategy. And it can't be done by HCM. We want service providers who are technical experts on that to align the structure. First of all, they're going to see whether the department strategy, what is the department strategy, then they're going to look at the structure. That's the first thing. So there's acknowledgement of this. This structure is a response, and we're acknowledging it is a response to the situation we find ourselves in. We have to do that. Acknowledging also that it could have been a grave mistake to make disability function a unit. So that is the parallel process. Included in that, structures in government departments were never a scientific approach. You came into the structure, you wanted a post, you created it, and that's how it got along. There was no baseline. So the instruction further to the strategic alignment and alignment of the structure is that that alignment must be informed by, number one, processes and work measurement. Honorable member will know. So aligning the structure to the strategy is look at your functions, do your processes, do your work measurement. That will also determine the number of people. So that is not, that cannot be done in the immediate future. It's a three-year project. We've done a terms of reference to get that out of the way. So maybe it's an omission, and that should have cleared a large part of the question that has been raised. But it doesn't take away the fact that I want to comment before I forget on the issue of disability and the issue of DPSA. We had engaged with DPSA from 2015. We had in the last one where disability was a branch, we wrote to them, giving them the structure in December. In December, we wrote to them, informing them of the structure and asking for their concurrence. And I've indicated that they've noted and acknowledged the receipt, and they will engage further. Whether that means concurrence or not, we're still going to clarify that. So we will engage with them back. The issue around disability in the department and the function at the national level is that function of employment equity is not lost. Within human capital management for the national department is managed there. This is a higher level function that's cross-cutting, which deals largely with advocacy, is located within the branch specialized services. I'm not sure whether I should be commenting on that, but I thought it's important me to indicate that part. Lastly, the issue of structure is not a cast in stone, so we can always change it. We're always, even if DPSA concurred with it, we would always be able to review it, revisit it, and deal with that. And then I take the point, we should ideally get DPSA ourselves and come and present the way forward. I don't think it's going to be helpful for me to comment on those issues. But I also want to just touch on the issue of the post, because I think that is critical. One of the principles is that nobody loses their job. And the issue of labor is not about this structure. It is about the rural allowance and all of that. This is a national department structure. We have not consulted with labor along the way, because it is a departmental executive function, but we have tabled it in our departmental bargaining chamber for them to engage, and that's part of the process. And we have a change management process that is a well-documented change management process to manage, including communication to staff. With labor, we spoke about the principles. Nobody loses their job. We migrate. Nobody will be unhappy. So, Chairperson, I take the proposal that we come back with suggestions on how we take it forward. I can comment on the issue of salaries, on post, but I'm not sure it is.
Maybe we can suppress the CFO, because we look forward to a bigger open discussion, transparency on this matter, because our commitment is that as government we go into various stages. We had a transition, and now we are talking about the actual transition, radical. So it means when there's a program coming in, change management issues, we then have to respond structurally to accommodate that. So this department, government is very dynamic and will continue to change. We appreciate this moment, and also there's no intention to dictate, to micromanage, but it is very clear that our participation is critical. because we are here as extension of parliament. Whether it's treasury, if we think they're making our work impossible, we can meet that structure. If it's a DPSA, in fact, we do want to meet DPSA for various reasons, because rural people are very suppressed, very much suppressed in everything. So E-Development Bank of South Africa requires to sit with us, as because we represent the poor. But lastly is to say, all what you have been saying, honorable members, endorse what is the sub-Saharan parliaments when they met in the forum I attended was about SDGs. And I only went there because I'm a member, I'm a chairperson of a portfolio committee that deals with SDGs. They talk to what you have been saying, the issue of disabilities, the issue of women and gender, and then I think as we do this work, we will remember that small Nyana unit, which is about international relations, talks to how to then we oversight the SDGs, and then through that they are channeled to reach the world outside South Africa. But that's not the time for that report, but the time was, I fully agree with those who feel that we must not look so close in order to see disability. We must see them immediately we look at a program, because they are also the face of our country, your children, your elderly, your people, vulnerable people. That's what we are about. So I'm not meaning what you have just responded to is not important, but I think it will be accommodated in the workshop that we all want to propose. And I think you will be consulting with the members so that we get a time to do that, because it is urgent and there are competing priorities within our work. But then to get a commitment that members will be there, and this workshop, it can take place here in Parliament. We don't want to be really as funukut, but what we want to do is have access to time and resources. And you can also bring experts you think they are there to brief us on current in order to be able to in line with how a developed country does. So can I thank everybody for participation, and thank the members for having to. We know you are very busy. We don't undermine that, but we also want to support you work better and work more and more. Thank you for that. Okay. Can we allow them to go, because there is a program that is with us. It's a matter of we say yes to it or no. So can we allow members to leave? So, there's no food we're gonna eat. It's only still more work.
Can we eat my first?
It's gonna be 5 minutes. It's just going to be 5 minutes. Okay, ma. What's on the No, the funani approve in 5 minutes or more. Can any fund in program here a committee? As is we found that if one has to go back, was we adopt, because Baba Niki were abandoned so that it is legitimate to funu cover and draw a gun call. Ukubakas and Zenang. Honorable members, it won't take us 5 minutes. What we are looking for is the one that you were given, but all we want is to formally adopt it. It was given to you last portfolio committee meeting.
Chairperson, we have been given. I'm confirming. I think on the meeting just after the second of February, we got it. I'm confirming, and I'm moving for the adoption of it as it is, with amendments.
There is, because you were given, honorably, some other time, now an adoption is being moved. Can I get a second as it is? In fact, we are almost in it now. Honorable Bev.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I second it. Thank you.
It is adopted, Secretary. Almost, we are already working according to it. So, but it's a formality. Can I say goodbye?